Meeting will come to order. Let's begin with a flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I guess it does.
It's Monday, February 25th, 2019. This is a public meeting of the Zoning Board of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, and State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, in that an annual notice is published in the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the bulletin boards in the municipal building and faxed to the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, the Courier News, and the Star Ledger no later than the Friday prior to the meeting. Denise, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Filas? Absent. Dr. Lewis?
Absent.
Mr. Mattson?
Here.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Here.
Mr. McTiernan?
Present.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Here.
Mr. Roberts?
Here.
Ms. Stevens?
Absent.
And Mr. Yeager?
Here.
You have a quorum, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, great. Thank you. Let me just run down the agenda briefly. A couple items of business. We'll look at the vouchers and the meeting minutes of January 28th. We have one resolution to adopt for Jamie Junio. We have a request for extension of time from 9 Main Street, who I see is here. And then public hearing for IPP Solar. And I see Tony Kester is here to represent them. So that's the agenda. Does anyone have anything to add to that? And is anyone here in the public that would like to identify themselves as an interested party above and beyond those that are representing the cases? Okay, seeing not, we'll go to the top new business. I reviewed the vouchers. There were about 10 or so of them, all looked in order to me, so I will move that we approve payment of the bills. And a second, please.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any nays or abstentions? There are none. Okay. Next, we have the meeting minutes of January 28th, which were distributed. I have trouble reading my screen. I'm trying to save my battery. I've got to lay down. Which have been distributed. Did you get any comments or corrections?
I did not.
Okay. I read them over. They look fine to me. Anyone else comments, corrections? No? Okay. Motion to approve the minutes as written, please.
So moved.
And a second.
A second.
Okay. And let's see, can everyone...
Should I do a roll call on that?
Yes, please.
Mr. Mattson?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
Mr. Roberts?
Yes.
And Mr. Yeager?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Okay. And turned to not vote. He was here. He was in attendance.
I believe he can.
Yeah, he can vote.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what it was? Hold it a second. He did not... He was not eligible to vote on anything during the meeting, but he was in attendance, so technically he could vote
he
on the minutes.
The minutes, right, yes, even though he didn't.
Okay, so Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
You just went from not eligible to eligible.
We get a promotion.
Okay, next we have resolution number 2019-01, version 1 for Jamie Junio, dismissal without prejudice. And this is the only version I got from John, 3 pages. I didn't see anything. Anyone else have any comments, corrections?
Escrow is up to date?
Yes. Yes, that's why I gave John the go-ahead, too. Yep, but thank you for checking.
Okay. Motion to adopt this resolution.
So moved.
Second.
Call the roll, please.
Mr. Mattson?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
Mr. Roberts?
Yes.
And Mr. Yeager?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Okay. Right, making great time. Okay, we're on to request for extension of time, and Mr. Yeager is indicating he's going to recuse himself.
Okay,
don't go too far, Tom.
So,
Okay, good evening. This case goes back a long time.
It does, and we're going to bring it to its conclusion, I hope. I'm Kristen Perry. I'm here for the applicant, and with me is Maggie Wortmuir, the CFO of the applicant.
Can you just spell that for us?
Sure. K-R-I.
Oh, no, not yes.
Maggie?
Yes, her last name.
M-E-U-R-E-R.
Thank you.
So we're here this evening to obtain an extension of time in order to obtain the final certificate of occupancy. That is the condition number 10 on the original resolution number 2012-07. That resolution was approved on May 29th, 2012, and it was adopted on August 27th, 2012.
Right.
It was carried through to the 02-2015 resolution, which I'll get to in a minute. But the condition said that the permits had to be applied for within, by 8-27-13, which they were, because they were approved 4-11-13. I have a copy of the zoning permit here. I sent this to you. I can distribute it if you'd like.
I'll keep a copy for the file, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Just one then?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
So then we were to have 2 years from the issuance of that permit, dated 4-11-13, in order to get the CO. Then there was a lot of applications. As I said, there was this resolution issued in 2015. It carried over the condition that we're speaking about tonight. The temporary CO did issue, and that temporary CO just expired December 3, 2018. That's when it was brought to my client's attention that in order to get the final CO, we're going to have to go back and get an extension of time in order to issue it. So tonight we have to go all the way back to 2013 to that condition, get an extension on that, carry it through to the 2015 resolution, and then bring it up to date for today. If you need to know, it's a mixed-use, commercial, residential. There's four affordable houses on the property. The 2015 did some modifications from commercial to residential and changing some storage units, adding electrical car charging posts. But again, I think the primary thing is that all the conditions have been met. Escrow's up to date. We also have what looks like probably the last activity, which was letter from Mark McDonald dated October 31, 2018. He'd like to see this. This was recommending that a release of the maintenance bond be issued. This would have come out. So, in sum, we're asking for extensions from 2013 to 2015 in order to get the CO. I think as far as the amount of time that we need, really it's just the amount of time the construction office is going to need in order to issue the CO. I wouldn't want it to be too short, because I don't think any of us want to be back here again on this issue. But obviously we shouldn't need an extraordinary amount of time in order to get this, because again, from what we understand, everything has, all the conditions are met, and it's really just a final inspection and issuance.
So 6 months or something like that?
Yes.
Can I just clarify one thing in terms of the conditions and modify? So in terms of just structuring the extension, my understanding would be that if the board were so inclined to grant the extension, the condition number 10 of 2012-17 would be the modification to extend, you would extend that condition, bring it forward from 2013, right, to, I'm sorry, 2015, which was the expiration of when the permit, that was the 2-year period, right, 4-11-2015, to the, to the present day plus 6 months, and then also modify the condition in the 2015 resolution, which holds the in place the 2000. There's a condition in the 2015 resolution which says that the 2012 conditions remain in effect. So I would, the recommendation I think would be to modify that condition as well to mirror whatever is, you know, going to happen in terms of carrying that forward. I think that's to get those two in sync.
Yes.
Okay. Is that you're in sync with that?
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure we're on the same page of how to structure the extension. That'd be how I would think of doing it procedurally.
Just a couple questions. When was the temporary CO issued?
That document I don't have. I did call down. I just know that it expired 12/3.
It's fine. Then my next question was going to be, when they issued that, how come they didn't just issue a final CO? Were there some outstanding items at that time?
Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, and it's Maggie Muir, M-E-U-R-E-R.
Yes.
And can you just state your address for the record, or business address?
3 Sunnyfield Lane, Annandale, New Jersey.
And your position with?
I'm the CFO at Magnish.
Thank you.
When I went down to get the TCOs, I went to pay, and they said that there had been a problem, so I went over to speak with Tom. And he said, there's nothing holding you back except for there's nothing for me to sign off on right now because the resolution is expired. Other than that, everything is about.
So he wasn't saying there were any issues with the property.
No.
It was a paperwork issue that caused it from being a permanent CO?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Good.
Any questions? No? Okay. So, Katie, you have enough detail to write up exactly what it is?
Yes, I have an understanding procedurally. It's extending, it's modifying the condition of the 2012 resolution to carry forward that period of time to the present, and then plus 6 months.
Six months from today is what we're talking about? Or 6 months from carrying forward?
Well,
not that it makes a
difference. I'm going to carry it forward from 4/11/15 to today plus 6 months.
Right.
From today.
So it'll be August 25th.
Okay. And then I would modify the condition in the 2015, which holds in place the time period, so that it reflects that same time period essentially.
Okay. All good? Any questions? Okay. Could a motion to that effect, please?
So move.
And a second?
Second.
Okay.
Mr. Matson?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
Mr. Roberts?
Yes.
And that's it. The motion carries.
Okay. Pretty painless, huh?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Pretty painless for a 7 or 8 year operation.
No.
Remember the solar project started like 2011.
Yeah.
It will be next month before we can memorialize the resolution.
Whether we can approach Tom, maybe we can, I don't know if he's going to want to see this first before they can schedule the appointment.
We can't speak for him, but often we ask the board secretary to let them know that we've passed something. And then it's up to him to decide whether that's good enough or not. We can't, he doesn't answer to us.
So. All right, thank you.
But that would give you 5 months from when it's memorialized. So.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. And while Tony grabs his seat, I guess just sort of a very, very minor issue.
Oh, somebody want to tell Tom to come back?
Oh, yeah. So even though notice isn't required for a minor site plan, you did notice. And you notice for 7:30, not 7 o'clock. So in the chance that someone saw a notice and was interested, on advice of counsel and exercising an abundance of prudence, I think we'll wait another 9 minutes before we start this.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I mentioned that to Mr. Drill and Ms. Raisin as well. And so we prefer that as well.
Okay.
If anybody wants to come with the airline. quickly.
So we should go off the record for 9 minutes?
Yeah.
7:30, we are back on the record to hear IPP solar integration public hearing. Applicant seeking minor site plan approval to install roof-mounted solar panels on existing Sassafria building.
Sassafria.
Oh, thank you. I haven't heard it called that by that name since we started hearing cases on this building. But good evening, Mr. Castor.
Yeah, good evening, Mr. Castor. I'm speaking to the board and professionals. We're glad to be here. I'll speak up a little bit. My name is Tony Kester. I'm an attorney with the firm Giltson Kester in Flemington, and I'm here tonight on behalf of the applicant, IPP Solar Integration LLC, a limited liability company, with regard to its application with owner consent. And the owner, it's known as Sappavia, but the owner is a real estate company known as 111 Cokes Bray LLC. So IPP Solar Integration has an application tonight with regard to property commonly known as the old KB Toy Store warehouse located on Cokesbury Road, really just opposite New York Life, just down from the school and just up from Metropolitan. But formally it's block 13, lot 11.01. It's 111 Cokesbury Road. It's 76.99 acres approximately. And it's located actually specifically north of 78, north of 22, between Prospect Lane and also Charlotte Drive, just to orient the board. I know everybody's like familiar with it, but just for the record. It's in the ROM-1 zone, which is the research office and manufacturing zone 1 for Clinton Township. The portion is located within Lebanon Borough. Not the portion that's the subject tonight. I did have a chance to speak with Mr. Grill about that, and his advice to me was just simply be sure that we noticed Lebanon Borough, and they did. They received notice. I believe our notice is in order, Ms. Raisin.
Yes.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Barrow. With that, the application tonight is a minor site plan application. There's no variance relief in association with it. I know you have the mini plans in front of you. It's for roof-mounted solar photovoltaic modules, actually, and the it's 997.92 kilowatts DC, 799.2 kilowatts AC, and we're going to give you a presentation with regard to it. It's really there on the mini that we provided. We have some professionals' reports. We have Ms. Marcelli's report for Ashmont McDonald with completeness, and I believe we are complete based on that. And we've sought certain waivers, which Ms. Marcelli saw no objection to in her letter, which I can reference. We have a planning board, or planner, memorandum from Mr. Behrens dated February 23, 2019, and I believe there are no comments there. There are comments by Mr. Wright, construction official, also Mr. Milne, the fire official, the fire marshal, and IPP will make that representation, but I'll tell the board now we're going to comply with all, and our request is that those items are made a condition of approval. This is really by way of opening statement, of course, and not fact testimony. So with that, as we seek this minor site plan application, it's pursuant to section 165-110B within parens 1B of your ordinances. 110 refers to utilities, B refers to private utilities, and 1 refers to solar energy systems, and then sub B refers to roof-mounted solar energy systems. And specifically, number 2 requires that in the case of commercial applications, we have to obtain minor site plan approval. So finally, that's why we're here tonight. And I'll try to be more quiet as the attorney, let my client and my engineer speak to it. So, Ms. Raisin, if you wish, Mr. McCaffrey.
Yeah, question. So 165, 110, the very next paragraph after the one that you cited, talks about some of the requirements of roof-mounted solar energy systems. You guys going to talk to that paragraph also?
We are. And I think you're referring to A.
To B square bracket 3, which I can read, roof-mounted solar energy. And I don't know if this is the appropriate time, but I just want to make sure we don't miss that one as we're going over. You cited square bracket 2, which says minor site plan approval is required. The very next paragraph has a couple requirements about the construction of the panels, the height of them, et cetera. I just want to make sure we don't lose sight of that.
Yeah, we'll try to attend to that in terms of the testimony of our engineers.
Okay. Thank you.
With that, if...
swearing your witnesses?
Yeah. So, Mr. Galeo, if you'd like to stand, Mr. Marks, if you'd like to stand. If you could state your name, who you represent, and your business address.
My name is Maziar Galeli. My first name, Maziar, M-A-Z-I-A-R. My last name, Delady, D-A-L-A-E-L-I. I am one of the principals at IPP Solar Integration, LLC. Our office address is 299 Broadway, Suite 1501 in New York, New York 10007.
My name is James Marks. I'm a professional engineer. I'm also an engineer of record. Here's my card.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you say your address.
My business address is 10 High Mountain Road in Ringwood, New Jersey, and I basically have moved just recently, and I'm now living in 11 Franklin Lane in Kenilworth, New Jersey.
Can you please raise your right hand?
Sorry.
Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Do we need to qualify? You can have a seat, please. Okay. But I don't think we've seen Mr. Marks before. I think we need to qualify you. You're testifying as a professional engineer.
I've been a professional engineer. I'm also licensed by the DCA as a construction official, and I also hold subcode in electrical, plumbing, and mechanical. I don't have any municipality that I practice. I practice with myself. I do know the regulations have been regulated by those people. I practiced in townships of Franchburg before, as well as Piscataway, where I had public hearings there, and I've done so for many years. I've got experience of over 45 years.
Have you testified before zoning boards?
Yes, I have.
And have you testified before planning boards?
Yes, I have. Both
in the state of New Jersey?
In New Jersey, yes.
And do you hold registrations as subcodes within the construction codes?
Correct. Yes, that's correct.
And could you just describe those briefly for the whole board?
Basically, you can be licensed as an engineer, and even though you're not practicing for a municipality, I've taken the test and I've attended the seminars necessary to license myself as a subcode official in electrical, plumbing, and mechanical divisions. And I'm also at level 3, which is the highest level that they have.
Could you just give, just by way of example for the board, I'm looking at your CV, which mm-hmm. we're not going to offer, but if you could just describe one or two applications that you worked on, perhaps in New Jersey, that are also.
I started my own business in 2004. I've been practicing this throughout the state of New Jersey, New York, and other states as well. I've done over 8,000 projects to date. Okay, you probably see a lot of the solar systems in this area, Lebanon and Allendale and so forth. I've had my name on these recently as well as for the past 20 years. I have experience that probably exceeds most people in the solar industry. I got into it with the Unirac system, where I developed their standards and wind tunnel testing, which set the parameters for all the other divisions and rack manufacturers for the last 20 years.
Okay, very good. I would offer Mr. Marks, Mr. Chairman, as an expert with regard to professional engineering in general, civil, including civil, but also specifically as to solar energy systems.
Do you have any questions as his qualifications? 8,000 projects, a lot of projects. Okay, he's acceptable.
I'm a busy person, but I enjoy doing this, and it's a very challenging and very worthwhile business. To being in a person where you can help the environment and so forth, and that's what we really do. So instead of building power plants out there, we're doing renewable energy systems.
Okay, all good.
Thank you. All right, Ms. Marks, if you wouldn't mind having a seat, Mr. DeLaley, could you just provide a little bit of background for the board with regard to your company, the relationship with the owner, and then generally the project that is under consideration and whether you have any other projects that are analogous to this in the area?
Sure. Should I stand up or?
No, you're fine.
Just speak louder.
Okay.
Nice to meet you all tonight. Very pleased to be here. So I'm one of the founders of IPP Solar Integration. We have been in business for 10 years plus now. We have been doing lots of projects between New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. That's really our footprint. We only do commercial and industrial projects. We don't do any residential. So this is obviously one of them. We have done probably around 75 systems so far, most of which we have built ourselves, done the design and engineering, and obviously we worked with Mr. Marks present here. With this particular client, this is the third project we're doing with them. The first one we did was about 250 kilowatt system at their head office in Long Island. And the second one was a very large project, larger than this one, in Flemington, the town nearby, for 1.7 megawatt. I have some pictures here if you ever want to see, I can show you. And so this is the third project. It's one of their warehouses, obviously. Near here we did another project in New Providence for the Acme supermarket chain, same thing, roof-mounted system. We've done a lot of projects in New Jersey, not just in this area, also in PSCNG territory, northern Jersey, southern Jersey, towards the ocean. So we're very familiar with the practices and the standards, and so obviously we hope to be able to convince the board that this is a positive for the community and the environment. Have I addressed those questions, or do I have any other ones left?
I think you have. So what are you proposing to build if the board is inclined to give approval and you do obtain building permits?
Yes. So. This solar array is meant to go over the roof, and I cannot emphasize this more. This array is not going to be visible from the ground level simply because the panels are practically flat on the roof with a slight tilt facing the sun. And so they are not going to be visible, like I said, from the surroundings. The power generated will be feeding the facility for 100% of its needs over the course of 12 months. We're looking to get this building's carbon footprint down to zero. And so obviously with all the benefits that I am sure the board is fully aware of in terms of the environment, saving, you know, trees and reducing carbon emissions. Any other questions?
I don't have any more for the board and its professionals.
Have you been up to Chalfont Drive, which is up the hill from the facility, to get an idea of, I don't know if you can see the roof of the building, I don't know what the elevation change is there, but I know that's above your facility, so I don't know if they'd be able to.
I'll be honest with you, I have not gone towards there. I'm not.
Because if they're not visible from the, that would be the, and I mean, I think there's only five or six houses that back along there. And I know.
You're talking about the west side of it?
Yeah, no, the north side.
Ah, okay. No, I have not. I mean, we have, we have, like I said, we've done a lot of projects over the years, and generally, the standards that is expected from us is whether the panels are visible from ground level when you are around the building. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have the general topography of the region, which could lead that you have a hill a few miles away that could potentially led people to see the panels, that's not the standard that we had been asked to meet. So, but again, this is...
Well, let's ask another question along those, addressing that concern.
Sure.
And that is, do you think that the appearance of the top of the building with solar panels on top of it is any more disturbing than the appearance of the top of the building without the solar panels on it?
That's the obvious question. And I think that obviously you have a, aesthetics is a very subjective. Everyone's taste is very different, you know. If I was able to put some sort of rational into it, you say that right now you are able to see a conditioning units. I'm not sure those are particularly aesthetically pleasing. In some ways, you may argue that by having some, you know, nice glass on the roof, it will maybe somehow make the sight of those air conditioning units more attractive, if I can use that adjective. But again, it's very subjective. Everyone's taste is very different, and so.
Mr. DeLay, if I could just clarify for Mr. Manson, the coat of the roof, you know, from the first page, and I'm referring to the cover page, which is T-1.0, in what the board has in its packet. It shows a gray roof. So, what color are the photovoltaic cells that could be on top?
They are dark blue. It's very important to notice that they are not going to reflect any light, because otherwise they're not fulfilling their function, which is to capture light. So you may be able to argue that the difference in color versus the rest of the, I mean, if you're talking about, you know, gray, if you have dark blue, you know, it's not like it's yellow or red. So, that's the way I would be looking at it. And so,
from the construct,
I could go into this a little bit more in clarity, if I may. The building height is 35 feet. These solar panels are at a 5-degree pitch, so that their height above the roof is less than 10 1/4 inches. That's from the tip of the panel to the roof surface. So in essence, if you're looking at any distance from this building, you basically are looking at a flat plane. You're not going to see anything but a flat surface. The other aspect of it is that if you're close to this thing, about 1,000 feet, you're just going to see trees primarily. And if you don't see the trees, the panels are set back from the edge of the roof. They could be set back 6 feet, but our plans have indicated 10 feet setback. So we're well set back from the edge of the roof. So the edge distance, whether you're at, I think we gave two drawings, one at 900 feet and the other at 2,300 feet, from a 6-foot eyesight distance, you don't even see the panels. So what I'm trying to refer to is that there is not an aesthetics issue here. What you're going to be seeing is, look what you see here, trees.
And so from the construct of the panels, as you articulated, and the pitch, as you've articulated, there'll be no reflection anywhere on these?
No reflection. If you allow me, and I don't know if that's, I have some pictures here. Yeah. You can see the way this is going to look like.
And these are the same panels that we've had a previous job,
yes,
right next to an airport, and there was no restrictions on its use.
Over to Stu Lummis. I don't have copies, unfortunately. We talked about Mr. DeLaley brought some references. They're illustrative, but I can submit them post, but I don't have other copies.
Yeah, I mean, why don't you just describe some of the features that are similar or for the board as to what they can expect, rather than, since we can't really mark what you're showing on the computer.
You cannot add it to your...
it's a little bit more difficult.
Well, we submitted some drawings, so we can show what these panels are.
But you can sort of compare, just for the record, without referring directly.
You have a sketch in one of the pages of the layout. Let me give you the page number. Yes, that is correct.
It's for the record, it's C-1.1.
And this is in their place. This is not separate.
It's not separate. It's not been altered. It's as it was in the plan.
Jim, do you want to just...
Are we ready to go through this now, or...?
Well...
Your case.
Okay.
Why don't we just hold for just 2 seconds? Yeah. At this point, are there any other questions for Mr. DeLaley? He's here for the rest of the evening, of course, but just to take it in order.
The only question I would have is, I think you believe that he indicated this would be facing south, the panel, the little rise. Okay. So around, say, Chalfont or any of the other northerly side, or even the south, that was said, at Cokesbury side, I understand from Cokesbury Road you wouldn't see anything, but being so close, because you're so close, but from a further distance out, any part of this frame, is it a darker color, like dark blue, or there wouldn't be any reflection whatsoever?
I have never seen any reflections on any of these systems.
On any of these sides?
Correct.
Right.
And we've done these systems nearby airports, and there's been no issue from the people in those areas as well.
Okay. And I don't know who would do the design, either one of you fellows, but you're only covering part of this roof, the top upper part. Is that adequate for the use that it's being used inside the building? If it would expand, if someone needs a more intense use or more electricity per se, would you require more panels?
You mean to add
extra in the future?
No, at this point, and we ran the calculations, the current array of 997 kilowatt DC system is precisely within a few percentage the annual consumption of the building. I cannot obviously tell if for whatever reason in the future maybe they will have a tenant that is a big consumer of electricity that will drive an increase in the size of the array. It is not impossible. That's a potential scenario. But this is for now the right size for the annual consumption of the building.
Is it scalable? It could be added to.
It is. And just so you know, the array is connected to the grid through the building service. Everything is inside. It's indoors, so you're not going to see anything outside the building. It's fairly benign. The other thing I wanted to add towards the panels actually come with anti-reflective coating. The goal here is to capture light as much as you can, okay? So that it's generating electricity. And we, as Jim said, we worked on a project in Danbury, Connecticut, where the array was right next to an airport, and the project was approved. It's been built for 4 years now. We went through the FAA at their office in Austin, Texas, to get the approval. I have everything here if you ever want to see. But my point is, there is not going to be any glare from the panels.
Mr.
Mark,
you did the design of the frame all attached to the building.
It's not, it's self-ballasted, okay, and I'll cover that in a moment, okay. if I may. I don't know at what point you want me to go back.
Okay,
or
just, all right.
You want us to hold engineering-related things until you present?
Okay, I think we're a little bit out of order, but let's go cover this area right now. This is an exterior frame system by AeroCompact. I've looked at their designs in the past. In fact, I've been working with them, and I'm a consultant for them as well. People know me from the industry because I've done Unirack systems as well, and it's very similar to that. It's basically an aluminum frame that supports the panels. They've been aerodynamically done in wind tunnel tests to make sure that they're stable under all wind conditions. I've been doing this for 20 years now, okay, since I first started this solar system type of work, and I have not lost any panels to date. Okay, so these systems have been there for, in my experience, a long time. Okay, the panels themselves have no chemicals of any sort. They're basically silicon wafers under a glass thing with some treatment of the glass so that they don't reflect the glass as well. By the way, silicon is the second most common element in the world. The first is oxygen, so if you wanted to know that. So they basically have no adverse effects at all. There's no systems of noise, there's no systems of degradation. These panels last for 30 years plus, and they basically have no need for maintenance. The nice thing about these is that they just absorb the sunlight. If it snows, sometimes the light filters through the panels and they heat up and they will melt the snow even faster, but there's basically nothing that they need to do at all to service these panels. We provide all the code regulations involved with these type of systems. And that's why I'm a subcode official too, because I put my name on this drawing. I want to make sure we're not going to get sued or there's going to be a fire or of any other sorts. But they've been around for 20 years, just like all the other electrical systems and buildings. Okay, this is a well-known technology. It has all the code elements there that the fire department wants, the electrical departments want. We follow all the regulations for the design, and also it's inspected by the municipality as well as by the inspectors for IPP Solar. So we have a good system here. The tilt of these things are in landscape, so the panel itself is approximately 3'3" by 5'3", and these panels at a 5-degree tilt from the very top here to the roof itself is less than 10¼".
Is the tilt on those chosen just to keep it not too visible from the ground, or is that actually
that's
proper
correct.
Angle?
No. Generally, these panel systems run between 5 and 15 degrees.
I mean, I think you optimally, for best use of your silicon wafers, you'd want to have it at 40 degrees.
Yeah. Not necessarily. It depends on the, you know, azimuth and other conditions of the solar radiance. Most panels in the Northeast are 10 to 10 and 10½ degrees, in my experience. We've chosen this one basically so that it's not visible at all. It's a flat roof, and that's how it looks to everyone, any proximity from this distance. And we're talking about over 2,000 feet here. At 2,000 feet, that 10 inches looks flat.
So are you losing some solar efficiency then by having them at that height instead of higher?
Minor.
The sheet C1.1, which is this one right here, references E1.1. Do we have that?
I don't think we did an electrical one.
You're referring to C1.1?
Yeah, for modules per string, references E1.1. I was wondering if there's pages that we're missing.
Okay.
or if there's pages I just, I'm missing.
That may be in the notes here.
I can explain. I think that this is an error. It's an error,
okay.
Because the number of modules per string, essentially solar panels, they work like
right.
Christmas tree lights. Mm-hmm. Okay, you put a certain number of modules in a string, you connect them, and that's how. So normally that page should be in the electrical drawings that you would file with the for the construction permit. And I believe it's an error. It should not be, the mention should not be here.
And then the 997 to 799, the 200 kilowatt loss, is that all from inverter inefficiency?
A lot of it is, yes. Some is wire loss, some is inverter loss.
Forgive me, I only know residential solar. Is that a normal amount of...
Basically, solar works as a DC system.
No, I understand.
And
I'm saying...
And as a DC system, you have to convert it into AC.
Right.
There is definitely a 15% loss.
That's what I was going to ask. Is that a typical loss on a commercial system?
And we have about a 20% difference between the 997 and the 779, and some of that has to do with wire.
Right, I'm just, is that typical for commercial? I know in residential it's often like, you know, 3 to 5%, but in commercial it's typical? Okay.
I hope I covered enough information on this.
Well, I'm going to ask you one question,
sure.
Germaine, for tonight. So you said they're ballasted. So can you just describe the ballasting and how that is done?
Well, to give you an idea, there's always a weight to keep these panels on the roof. It's the self weight, the frame weight, the module weight, and we do need additional weights at certain points on the system, and that has been done through aerodynamic testing, how much weight that is. And to get that additional weight, we have drawings that are called ballast drawings, and those ballast drawings show concrete blocks being placed at certain areas on the plants. All these locations are basically I review, I check that out, and then basically I certify where those blocks will be placed.
What is the weight of the entire system for a section of
that? Might surprise you. The system weight on an average is typically about 4.5 pounds per square foot. The weight of a shingle, the ones you see on roofs, asphalt shingles, is 3.5 pounds per square foot. So this is basically a little over a pound more than a standard shingle roof.
So basically these are not fastened to the roof, it's ballasted?
They're ballasted.
Okay.
And as I said, I've been doing this for 20 years, I can assert
sure.
that this system works.
Well, not only works, but I was with the wind we're experiencing, but you also said that, you know, you've seen this and it's near an airport, which is a wider, larger area, ballasted the same way? It's
correct.
Not moving in any
We
way.
Did the same thing in Flemington. We did the same thing in all these projects.
Which project in Flemington are you referring to?
The same client that you...
Yes. Do you know the Lipton building?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
The Lipton building is also now 100% solar in terms of, you know, it's what we call net zero. And so we covered probably around 50% of that building with solar panels, and I have pictures here if anyone wants to see. It's a copycat of this project.
Okay.
And how long has that been installed, Ms. Year?
The project was finished sometime in the fall of 2018.
Inspected and approved.
Yeah, inspected, approved by both the town, the township, and also the utility, Jersey Central Power and Light. So it's up and running and yeah, working fine.
And one more question I have here on C-1.10, the shade lines, that is due to the air conditioner or roof installation of some type, the green shade line that I see on the schematic with all the panels.
Correct.
The shade because of shade from
obstructions, whether they're vents or fans or, you know, actually rooftop units, that would cross the shade. You try to avoid those areas. Okay. As well as the weight requirements of those areas have.
And all of those exceed the height of the panels.
Yes, they do.
Thank you.
What's the existing, or what's the roof system on the building?
It's an EPDM roof at this moment. Very standard.
Yeah.
You know.
Any other questions for Mr. Marks? We took it a little bit out of order, but
I apologize for that. But we jumped ahead.
But as soon as that's better, we get right to the point. So, if there anything else for Mr. Marks,
I just have one. I want to make sure that we're in compliance with the ordinance. Let me just read this one paragraph. It's the paragraph after the one you cited. A roof-mounted solar energy system shall not be more than 6 feet higher than the height of the finished roof. So I think you're testifying.
Well, the finished height of this roof is 35 feet. Okay, so that we're going 10 inches
higher. So you're in compliance with that.
We're in compliance with that.
Okay. The next sentence is, in no instance shall any part of the system extend beyond the peak of the roof, extend beyond the maximum height of the roof line, or extend the maximum height that is permitted for a principal or accessory building in that zones.
I read that as interpreted as a sloped roof that has a gable roof system, and since this is a flat roof, that requirement is not applicable.
Okay. Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I just wanted to get it on the record that
Thank
we
you.
Considered it.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Are there any other questions for the witnesses? If not, I want to just be sure we cover the fire marshal's letter and also Mr. Wright's letter.
What kind of maintenance is required? I mean, like, how often would somebody have to go on the roof?
As I indicated earlier, I believe I said no maintenance whatsoever.
Ever? For 30 years?
Well, they may go up there, wash it down occasionally, but I have systems out there that nobody's done anything with it.
Okay.
So it's not mandated. Sometimes clients will have seagulls and geese and so forth will do some cleanup, but it's not something that's really necessary.
Go ahead, just ask. Go ahead, ask your question.
No, the maximum height in the zone is 35 feet, or is
45?
Is it 45 feet? Okay.
What is the maximum height?
The building is shown in the profiles at 35.
No, what's the maximum height per ordinance?
In what is this, ROM 1?
ROM, ROM 1.
I think you had it in your chart. That's how I spoke up. You might want to repeat that.
Do you remember what that was?
It's stated in the survey. That's an exhibit, and in the table on the right hand side.
Here it's listed as 45.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, 45 feet, two stories. This is one story, okay. But it's under the 45.
Yep.
In summary, I think we've qualified for this type of system here without having any variances or any other issues with the building code. I think we're in compliance. We will be looking at it in more detail for the electrical network and so forth as we do the construction drawings. But other than that, I think the system will be what we've stated here exactly.
Thank you. I'll just run through the letters briefly. There are just two of them, one by Mr. Wright, dated February 19, 2019. And Mr. DeLaley, there's a statement here by Mr. Wright. Please make sure you've met the requirements of Section 605.11 of the International Fire Code for firefighters, walkways on the roof around the solar arrays. This will be part of the building permit review once the board approves this application. Do you agree with Mr. Wright's requirement there?
Yes, absolutely. And furthermore, when we build solar arrays in New Jersey, we always follow IFC 2015, International Fire Code. So every single project we do now is compliant with that IFC 2015. We have done numerous projects under those guidelines and got them approved, particularly, for example, projects in the Meadowlands, in Munaki, which is in Meadowlands. So I believe that we will be able to give entire satisfaction to the fire marshal. And I actually spoke with him today, Mr. Milne, and I know that he wants certain specific elements, like certain signage and things like that, and, you know, some sort of training for his crew so that in the event of emergency and the first response can have the best practices in place in order to address the concerns on site right away. So we will work with Mr. Milne in order to have all those elements that he listed in his letter addressed. And Mr. Milne agreed that this is something that we should work as we get towards the completion of the construction, and that the issuance of the certificate of occupancy will be subject to him getting satisfied on all those elements that he has put in the list here. So, and I have an email in that effect that he sent me that I can certainly share with the board if necessary.
Are we currently sharing fire marshal with Lebanon Borough?
Yes.
We are?
Yes.
Okay. Because if they're talking about training firefighters, the Lebanon firehouse is considerably closer to your facility than the Annandale firehouse. So they would, if you had occasion to use the fire department, they would be the first ones to arrive. So if you're going to do something with the Annandale Fire Company, you should also go with the Lebanon Fire Company.
Understood. I will speak with Mr. Milne on that, and we will be happy to have the same procedures in place. We put signage on the building with telephone numbers, and one of our electricians is actually a fire chief of the city of Stamford, Connecticut. So they understand, they speak the same language, and I think that's a good thing. We can bring them up to speed on the way to approach the system in the event of an emergency.
In most cases, what they're trying to do here with the access ways and so forth that the fire marshal has included here is not for the solar system itself. It's for if there's a fire within the building to relieve the noxious gases and so forth quickly. And that's why we provide the 6-foot pathways and around the perimeter, 4-foot pathways within the interior at certain distances. All this is predicated on the International Fire Code that has been adopted. We know this by fact.
And I have to clarify the record. When I was reading the control point survey, that was the ROM 2 in Lebanon Borough. So my understanding is that for Clinton Township, and I'm referring to the table that is attached to the plan that was originally approved in 2013 with regard to expansion, it indicates the maximum building height is 40.5 one story. So not 45.2. That was a reference to Lebanon Borough. I apologize. I looked at the wrong corner. I just saw Ron 2 and then Lebanon Borough.
My apologies as well.
I'm sorry.
When I spoke before and I indicated 45.2 is the height or Mr. Marks did, I referred him to a part of the survey that is actually a description of Lebanon Borough portion of Saffavia. And
okay.
ROM 2 in that area. ROM 1, as I understand it, and Clinton Township has a max height of 40.5. Now I'll check that on
40,
the
okay,
40.5.
Maximum height?
That's what I see here, Mr. Yeager. I'll check that.
Yeah, it's either 35 or 45. And I think this 45
it says
sounds better.
45
than
is required. That's right. What's on the chart here. I think that might not be correct.
I want to be sure.
Okay. That might be for 11.
I don't think we have anything other than 35 and 45 in any of our zones.
It does. Okay, so it's labeled.
Where?
Township.
11 and Borough is 60.
50. Really? Skyscraper City.
I have 45 on the schedule.
Okay.
In the ROM1.
We had a lengthy discussion with Shabbat with that height.
Yeah, you reminded me that that was right.
You still looking, Tony?
Yeah, you see 45.
I see 45.
That's what
on
I see.
Here.
That's
okay.
What I see.
Okay.
So I just want to be sure we're correct. So, Mr. Barnes, just to clarify, the height of the existing building is 35 feet, is that correct?
Where the solar system is 35 feet. Correct.
And the height of the cells is, was your testimony?
It's 10.25 inches or 0.5 feet.
If you just clarify again for the record, there are other objects, structures on the roof that are taller than 10 inches?
Yes, there are.
And could you just talk a little bit about...
They would be vents and air things and rooftop units, etc. Typically, they're at the order of 5 feet.
Do you know when those other items were installed? I'm trying to think. What defines the height of the roof? Is it the tallest air vent that's up there?
We have an ordinance definition for height of a building?
Yes, but it's it's like the discussion we had last
month. Yeah, that's
what
I was just thinking.
Yeah,
yeah,
but
just
that
like
route
that,
again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking at the overall site plan that was Langen's site plan in connection with a previous resolution. And I don't know that reference. Actually, I do. It was resolution number 2013-06. And this was an application, again, on behalf of 111, on behalf of actually Woodmont Industrial Partners. It was amended and final site plan approval with regard to an expansion to add 36 truck loading docks to the event that existed 47 to go to 83.
Right.
So that plan, Mr. Chairman, that was approved. I have the set here dated 4/26/13. Shows an existing conditions 40.5 feet one story, and then proposed conditions 40.5 feet, and then phase two they have here 40.5 feet. So I think the existing height, as I understand it, from the plan approved at that time under that 2013 resolution was 40.5. And do we have any information that it's higher than that now, or do we believe that it's the same height as it was existing?
I don't have any particular information to believe that it has changed, but
no applications have come before this board requesting any changes to the structure that would impact the height, and we would have heard them because we have jurisdiction over this building going back years.
I'm not aware of it.
You're talking about the 2013-06 resolution,
right?
That at that point the plans that match up with that show a 40.5 foot height.
Exactly.
For the building.
I have walked the site and, you know, a couple of times, and it seems to be this way.
Yeah, I think the question was going back to the section of the ordinance that I read that indicated the panels shouldn't be higher than certain measurements on the roof, and should these or should these not count. I don't think the intent was to question the viability of the project, but whether or not there should be some mention, you know, if there's a design waiver that would be called for, or is that overkill in this? Do you have an opinion on this, Katie, or do you want
to? Well, I'd like to, I mean, is there anything else on the roof besides the, I guess what we're trying to get at is if there's something else on the roof that exceeds that height that you could speak to that's more specifically.
That would substantially establish the roof height of the roof.
Correct.
Sort of higher than
41.5. Well, would it be 10 inches higher? It would have to be 10 inches higher, 10 and a half inches higher than that.
Right.
Because you understand what I'm getting at? Well, do you understand it? Is there something that's 10 inches high, 10 and a half inches higher than 40.5 inches on the roof existing today that is actually part of the roof? I think that's just what.
Right.
To
then
be safer.
You point to these panels
that, right,
and say
then there would
10,
be no
10 and
issue.
A half inches is de minimis. Forget
it.
It
is, right. Do you understand what I'm saying?
You're going to have to understand these more.
Or you can have five, if you would like to just take 5 minutes, then what?
We may be able to answer this right now. This is a representative of staff.
Okay.
Do you want to
talk about that for a couple minutes? It's up to you. You want to give them a couple minutes?
I think we're ready.
Okay. All right. So hold on. Let me just swear you in. Okay. Hi.
Kevin Ryder.
Kevin what?
Ryder, R-I-T-E-R.
Yep. Okay. And you are the?
Property manager.
Property manager. Okay, and do you swear that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thanks very much. Okay, if you want to just answer the question, we were just talking about the proposed height and if there's anything existing on the roof that exceeds the 40.5 height of the building.
Standing on the roof, there are
four
Cambridge heating units that were installed way before we turned around and bought the building. They're existing. And there's also...
And excuse me, sir, before you move on, how tall are they? 10 inches, 10 feet?
They are roughly about... Roughly about 5 foot.
Okay.
And there are... I think there's six of them.
No, he's three.
Six of them. They're air rotating units, basically. Air ventilation, systems.
And how tall are they?
Those are probably about 5.5 feet, roughly.
So do you have any knowledge, Mr. Ryder, that there's anything on the top of that roof that exceeds a total height of 40.5?
I'm fine now.
Okay, so then you can just say.
So if you can tell the board then.
It doesn't exceed 40.5 feet.
Part and parcel of this type of building.
So would it be your opinion that any height increased by these panels would be insignificant or de minimis as compared with the other structures already on top of the roof?
If you You'll see the other structures before you see the panels.
Well said. No good at that?
Yeah, I also I looked up our definition for a parapet, and a parapet does not extend the roofline of a building. So based on the way our ordinance is written, every single thing would be non-compliance if this applied to a flat roof.
Yeah.
So we should refer that to planning, but for this, I think we're good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Unless there's any other questions, we rest at this point, and we do ask the board for minor site plan.
One little note, and if you allow me, to the extent that the board decides to pursue this positively, we'd like to ask if it's possible to have a little bit of flexibility in the layout, in the sense that, because, for example, the IFC 2015. May force us to do the layout in a certain way, and the fire marshal, and they may give us comments in how the layout may have to be modified to a certain extent. So if this is something that would be approved, we would ask to have a little bit of flexibility in how the layout is of the array is. But if it's not possible, we'll live with what is here.
I don't think there's anything in the resolution that would specify a layout.
Do you think, what if we made it, we want to make it subject, the board could also make it subject to any inspection by the fire, yeah. And any of the safety, the fire police, so make sure that it's in conformance with any of the safety concerns? Does that seem reasonable? Yeah. So that way?
That would work.
Mm-hmm. The only point is, you might change the pattern of the array. Will there be any more panels going up there?
No.
Okay. Would they increase in height?
No.
The pitch?
Same.
Everything remains
same height.
Just shuffle them around.
Exactly.
Same
it would
setback
be
from the edge of the roof. So that's
yeah, the edge yeah. of the roof would have to be.
Yeah. The edge of the distance to the edge of the roof would be the same. It's just that we may just move it around inside the roof with a different pattern, but yes.
Okay.
Same size panels, same racking system, same maximum height of 10 1/4 inches, and yeah.
So in the resolution, we just authorize our engineer to make field changes based on any such issues that arise during construction?
Yeah, I'd say as long as they maintain the distance from the edge.
And the number.
Okay.
Within Mike Wright's direction and also Steve yeah. Milne's.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. One more question. Have you fellows ever completed an as-built after you completed your projects?
Always.
You do?
Every okay. time we have a project, the as-built is always a little different for a number of reasons. I would be happy to give you examples, but once the system is built, there's always a little always changes.
I always have to do an affidavit of completion with the final plans that are signed and given to the building department.
Okay, so we would have a record of that then, what right. has been submitted.
And you would, and what we have done in other townships is we welcome to have anyone from the planning board to do an inspection and just make sure that at least the spirit under which this was installed is in line with what was approved in the meeting. Because ultimately that's really what you're looking for, is that it's not visible, that follows those guidelines that I think everyone is expecting here.
Okay, all good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Motion to grant. Another question?
Public?
I asked at the beginning. There was no one from the public. That was the first thing I asked at the meeting.
Yeah, I heard that, but I didn't. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
So I've got just one procedural question. We are granting minor site plan approval to the solar company and not to Safavia. Is that correct?
Yeah.
You're granting approval to the applicant. That's correct. IPP Solar Integration.
I mean, so the applicant doesn't have to pay the owner for the next owner or something.
It's with the owner authorization. To the extent the approval is given, it's with regard to the connection with the property itself. So it's a site plan that attaches to the property, as I understand it. But it's the applicant, IPP Solar, that's seeking this approval with owner authorization.
And just to confirm, because I apologize, I was having a sidebar, but you're, and I know you said in the beginning you are okay, amenable to the conditions in the fire safety report, and correct?
We are. Okay. Items 1 through 5 of the 218-19 report.
And if there were any other, I don't believe there were any conditions in Mr. Barron's report.
And also Mike Wright's letter.
Yes. I heard you also agreed to the conditions.
Agree.
Okay, I just wanted to, and I apologize
no, absolutely.
For that.
That's
okay.
Good question.
Okay.
I'll second everything you need.
I think I do. Yeah.
Okay, yes. Good motion to grant minor site plan approval.
Second.
What, who's first?
Oh, you, sorry, I thought you were making
the
motion.
A question.
Yes, I'll take motion. That motion then. Yes.
Motion, I see a motion. And a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, you should call the roll, please.
Mr. Mattson?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
Mr. Roberts?
Yes.
And Mr. Yeager?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Okay. Good luck. Looks like a good project.
Thank you all very much. I appreciate
thank
all
you.
Your
thank
time
you.
And
thank
patience
you.
And good questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else for the good of the time? Motion to adjourn, please.
One second. Did you send out these extensions to Tom?
Did I put it in the box?
Yeah, yeah you did.
I did. I thought I did.
Okay, so everybody has a copy of that.
Extension. And I also emailed it to you.
I know, but I thought you emailed me that it was in the box, and I was downloading the stuff I missed it there.
I don't think that's
maybe, hold on, let me double check.
How would you have seen it if it wasn't
I
in the box?
I don't know.
Well, if it was in the email.
No, I didn't put it in the... No. I sent it...
I know you mentioned it.
Yeah.
I was downloading ABI. Was it in a...
Oh, no, I haven't seen that. I apologize.
Yeah,
I thought you were talking about something that.
I saw was about this happening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought... Okay.
Did I then maybe I forgot to put it in the box.
I know you said you were going to.
Yeah, you know what? Because I was out first and
you
Friday,
have
I didn't
John,
put it in.
Would,
the John one of these? Yeah.
Yeah.
I can just look into it. Because is this the first application we had where it wasn't the owner who was the applicant?
What?
No.
No. Oh, especially the planning board.
Yeah.
No,
I've got
any more drinks.
They actually have to certify. The owner has to certify
aerial
on the application.
Google Maps thing.
Good night.
That was like half of the applications we're planning.
Okay. Good night.
Somebody has drawn a property line on it. It looks like that's done on a countywide basis.
No, it's in the requirement of our application.
Is that done by the county?
The county has a GIS parcel map.
That's part of
that you should be able to access.
That's amazing. It would be
their GIS.
You could pull a site plan.
And you can get it from that, or the state DEP has a Mr. Sid file.
Are we? Did we adjourn?
You can also
no. Did you want to talk about this in open session?
All I mentioned last month is we talked briefly about the extensions, and you mentioned to me to prepare something. I think on the 12th or 13th, whatever, I gave this to pass on to you and to Jonathan, just to look on temporarily. You know, not temporarily, but preliminarily. And so this was my thoughts about the extensions and whether you use that or not, or do you want to go ahead and modify? I just put it off for discussion. That's
okay.
All it really is. You don't have to discuss it tonight.
Okay.
It's just my thoughts. That's all.
Well, here's my recommendation. You know, take it and look it over. And next time we have someone requesting an extension of time, maybe pull this out and look at it and say, do we want to ask for all of these things? For like in tonight's case, would we have wanted to ask them, you recused yourself, to produce all of these things? And that was a case where everything's done. They have the temporary CO. They just said, hey, we forgot to file for the permanent. So would we have wanted them to ask them to pull all of this out? I don't know, but that would be the question.
Well, again, first line is basically it adds, you know, serve as an aid to a person that's going to come in first time. They're pretty much, you know, 9 Main Street is pretty much down the road with everything. Would they, you know, they were in and out pretty darn quick, so I would have to agree with that. You know, you may not even consider this, but there's some folks that I've been, since I've been on this board, that repeatedly they're coming back. So to me, they're going to have to think about this or pull out their prior approvals. What did they get before they start going into, you know, making another extension request? Mm-hmm. That's all this was about primarily, and jog their minds. But also, if I'm going to consider that an extension, I would like to know, what are the facts? I mean, is this the second, third, fourth extension? You know, when was it granted? What do they still need to become complete and get their COs? That's what this really is, because there's too many that I've seen, people come back continuously, and I'm not quite sure what they have completed, mm-hmm. whether this be permits that they have to get or things they've already constructed. I can think of one or two already that they've already completed some of their construction, but they haven't completed the other, or they haven't got approval for the construction that they completed. To me, it would be easier to, if I knew some of this, that it can make me more satisfied that they're moving in the right direction, if they're going to move at all. That's all that's.
Okay. We'll hold this for the next time we have request, and we can
sure.
give it to the applicant. Okay. And could we get an electronic copy of this?
Yeah, please. Since apparently we actually didn't.
You didn't get electronic. I couldn't get my scanner to work.
Well, can you just email it to me? What you did? What you have?
Typed it, right?
You don't have to scan it. Yeah, just email me the Word doc.
I will, but I was having difficulty with my computer this past week, or whenever I did it. And I figured I was driving by, so I thought maybe you can scan it, send it out. But if you didn't do it, I'll email it to you.
Well, no, because I think you're asking for
a digital copy so I can keep it on my computer, because 6 months from now, I don't know if I'll...
Well, also, if we wanted to suggest changes...
If we have the Word doc, we could, yeah.
You can't change it, right.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, anything else? Works. Motion to adjourn, please.
So moved.
Yes. And a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Here's your envelope back.
Okay.
My question had to...